Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Talk. This is the Fun and Games Department. But there are times when this Fun and Games Department collides with real life as we know it. And I think over the weekend, certainly one of those times, El Paso Chihuahuas, the AAA affiliate of the San Diego Padres, have been for 6 years. And as we're saying, Tony, I think more people in San Diego this year have paid more attention to what's happening in El Paso than ever before, because there's so many great young players there that are working their way
hot
up to the major.
Hot lava talent, I think they call it.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, the events that took place in El Paso, tragic over the weekend. But we wanted to know how we can help and how you can help, and I'm sure you're probably interested as well. So Brad Taylor, the Senior Vice President, General Manager of the Chihuahuas, joined us. We talked to him just a little bit ago. I want to give you the website. We'll mention it during the interview a couple of times, but I want to give you the website that you can go to help donate to the victims in El Paso and get a pen or something. And it's PDN, PDN as in Nancy, foundation.org. PDNFoundation.org. And we'll mention it a few more times in this interview, but I want to make sure everybody's aware of that so you can help. And here is our conversation with Brad Taylor in El Paso. SDCCU Fan Hotline, talking some baseball, talking how baseball can help. El Paso Chihuahua Senior Vice President, General Manager Brad Taylor joins us. And, of course, I think everybody's aware of what happened in El Paso over this past weekend. Brad, first of all of our thoughts and wishes and prayers from San Diego to everybody in El Paso. And I was wondering if you could give us a little update on how everybody's doing there and how the baseball team's trying to kind of help out.
Well, first of all, we appreciate those thoughts and well wishes. They mean more than everybody knows. And we have a wonderfully resilient town with really generous people, and they are responding as we all expect they would, and that's with together and unity, and we're going to get through this. But it's been tough. We're shaken. We're safe. Thankfully, our front office staff, the players were obviously on the road, but now our focus is to help be one of the pillars in the community that can help uplift this town and help the people in it.
Speaking of help, Brad, how can people in San Diego help the people in El Paso?
Well, that's awfully generous, and we appreciate that. The way we've chosen to do it here with the Chihuahuas is we're working with a group called the Paso del Norte Community Foundation, and they are one of two entities in our town that is a legitimate money-collecting entity for the El Paso Victims Relief Fund. So there are two entities that are taking money that will be ultimately distributed to the victims and their families to help them with a variety of things, unfortunately, that they're going to have to deal with. But the website is PDN, Paso del Norte, PDNFoundation.org. And right on the front page is an El Paso Victims Relief Fund link. And if anybody would like to give to that, again, it's a legit entity that's going to help do the right thing locally for the people that deserve it in this time of need.
Brad Taylor is with us, the Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Chihuahuas. Again, that website, if you didn't quite catch it, you can write it down, pdnfoundation.org. You know, Brad, I mean, we've been, unfortunately, I mean, in this country, it's just, I mean, these kinds of events have happened far too often. Yeah. And I think when they hit home for somebody like yourself and a team in El Paso. I mean, you're in the middle of a baseball season and everybody cares about how everybody's batting average is. It kind of brings everybody back and kind of stops you in your tracks a little bit. How do the ball players deal with it? What was their first reaction?
Well, you know, it's amazing. These guys are on the road, and you know, one of the greatest things I think about El Paso is this team has an affinity for playing in El Paso. All the players we've ever had here, I've never heard anybody say a bad word about El Paso, and I think they've all loved their time here. And we certainly love being a San Diego Padres AAA affiliate. They're a first-class organization. And I got contacted by a couple of the players as soon as that afternoon before they were about to play a Saturday night game in Memphis. And they asked, hey, what can we do when we get back? Can we go visit kids in the hospital? What can we do to help just uplift spirits, if nothing else? And, you know, when you're dealing with something like this, to know that there's people that feel and want to extend that human touch, especially when you have the platform of being a professional athlete, it means a lot. And we are going to find some things and some places for these guys to get when they return from the road Wednesday to just kind of be present and maybe a little bit comforting to the people in the community. And it's great to have guys that play for us that think that way and in the Padres organization.
Brad, you mentioned when these guys get back, you said on Wednesday, I believe, they come back from the road. Will you guys do anything as a team, or will you just take the guys who are available and kind of spread them out and so that they can be there for the community?
Yeah, Tony, you know, this is so new and thankfully not something we have to plan and organize often.
Yeah.
And I think the answer is yes to both questions. It just depends on what may evolve in the next 48 hours or a little less when they get off the plane Wednesday morning and what any of them are able to do. And of course, it's not limited to Wednesday. You know, we have a 7-game homestand. We may be able to affect people through the week, whether it's Saturday, Thursday, or whenever it is. And as we find out the things and the places where people need us to come lift their spirits, that's where we'll go. And if we can, again, use the platform of the Padres and the Chihuahuas to also message that we want to raise money through that PDM Foundation website for those that would like to give, we want to do that as well, because ultimately that's going to go to the people in this community that have suffered great tragedy.
Brad Taylor is with us from El Paso. And, you know, the other thing that I always know, I mean, communities, I mean, we see the worst sometimes of America. We see the best at the exact same time in response to this kind of stuff. But I think the other level of that is that, you know, sports, a lot of people say, well, sports isn't that important and it's just fun and games. The thing with sports is it has the ability to bring everybody in a community together, even when something like this hasn't happened, but especially when something like this has happened. The ballpark is a place everybody can kind of go and feel a little bit normal again, and I'm sure everybody's looking forward to you guys getting back home.
Hey, yeah, let's face it. Sports are the front porch of any community.
Yeah.
It's the unifying place. It's the place that people who don't have common threads otherwise do. They can be together. They can share the same thoughts about their team. And ever since we started this, you know, we're in our sixth season, we wanted this ballpark, Southwest University Park, to be a gathering place, to be an extension of a community center for El Paso in this region. And our goal is to have it serve as just that for these home games. And if you just want to come be together and feel comfortable, we hope you'll come do it with us. As you can imagine, we have some programming we want to work on to pay respects to those that are no longer with us, to thank those that have helped us through this and will continue to do so. The first responders, the ladies and the men that are nurses, doctors, police, fire, Border Patrol, Homeland, ATF, it goes on and on. But if we can be a place that brings everybody together, because the common thread is that they like baseball or they like their hometown team, the Chihuahuas, we'll stand up to that responsibility.
Yeah, that's one thing that's great that you have definitely going for that community of El Paso. I mean, I've been down there. Being a San Diego State guy, I mean, we played UTEP for so many years, and always had a great time down there. The Padres, I'm sure, have been in touch with you guys. I mean, I know this organization here in San Diego cares a great deal about all of its minor league affiliates. Have they talked to you guys about any plans, or is anything in the works as far as the Padres are concerned?
Well, as you can imagine, knowing the Padres, we have heard from ownership, we have heard from top management, and they are the great people that they have always been. Gracious, giving, wonderful, caring people, and they've grown to have an affinity for El Paso as well after 6 years serving as their AAA baseball affiliate. And yes, there are some things we are working on jointly that we can't quite uncover yet because we're working through some processes and procedures. But as you can imagine, both of you know, in the Padres, they're standing up and doing the right thing, and we're working together on a couple things now.
Well, Brad, we wish everybody the best of luck, and in El Paso, like I said, everybody in San Diego is thinking of you guys, and just hope everything works out as well as it can there. We appreciate you joining us. I want to give that website out again. It's pdnfoundation.org. I think everybody listening to this interview who's a baseball fan, a sports fan, ought to take a minute to go to that website, give whatever you can. And then just to wrap things up, Brad, on a happier note, see if you can't keep sending us superstar players from El Paso all the time, because you guys have been doing a really, really good job of that so far this year and in the last couple of years. So just keep the hot talent lava flowing, and you know, we appreciate
that. It is incredible to see the talent they have built within this organization and developed. It is just amazing. And to serve as the AAA team that gets to be the beneficiary of that, we've been fortunate enough to win our division 4 straight years. Currently, we're hanging on to a 1-game lead with 28 games left. And, man, it's been a lot of fun to watch that. And it's been a lot of fun to watch it translate at Petco, to see some of our guys be significant contributors. And it is only enhanced and deepened the affinity for the Padres here in our town with new Padres fans. So that's really cool as well.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I don't know. I never recall Padre fans talking so much about El Paso before.
Right.
But this year, everybody's got an eye on you guys, and especially now with heavy hearts. Brad, thanks so much for your time. Good luck. Let you get back to work down there. And anything we can do in San Diego, please feel free to let us know. And if this radio station can help in any way, we definitely want to do so.
Thanks for your time, Brad.
Well, hey, yeah, Chris, Tony, thank you both. Just being able to get the word out means a lot to us, and we appreciate it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Aztec football gets underway at the end of the month. Weber State is the first opponent, but really it's all about that second game. At UCLA, will the Aztecs bounce back? And it's nice to kind of say that after a 7-6 season.
Right.
Because it used to be a 7-6 season, like we were celebrating. But
jumping for joy.
Yeah, nowadays, 7-6, not what the Aztecs are after. Joining us from the San Diego Union-Tribune.
Aztec for life,
Kirk Kenny, right here on 97.3 The Fan with Gwen and Chris. Kirk, how you doing today, buddy?
Pretty good. Am I an Aztec for life because it took me 8 years to get through school?
Yes, I was.
That makes you a definite Aztec for life.
I was right there with you, Kirk, so I think I was with you every step of the way. All right, my first question on the Aztecs season coming up, is there any way, Kirk,
is it true or false or multiple choice?
This is an essay question.
All right.
Is there any way we can go back through all last year's game tape and find another yard for Juwan Washington? It just looks funny that he rushed for 999 yards last year.
You know, it's amazing that as soon as he went over, someone didn't run down from the press box and go, don't let him carry again.
Because he went over and then went back?
Yeah, exactly. He got up to like 1,002, had one more carry for minus three, then he finished at 999. And I think there was time for him to get another carry to try and get it back, but I don't, you know, it was 27-0, I think, at that point, and I don't know that a lot of people were really into thinking about what he was going to do, but it's going forward that you look at that, man, that 999 just looks like...
It looks the same way 299 looks on your average when you finish the year with
one. Well, just give me one more hit.
Can I just get one hit? Kurt, obviously Rocky Long has brought this program huge strides to places I don't think any of us who were Aztecs could have ever imagined. So with that comes high expectations, though, and you know, it's been pretty high over the last few years. What do you think the expectations will be for this season's Aztecs?
I think they're what they are every year. They expect to compete for the Mountain West Championship, go to a bowl game. This year they're trying for a 10th straight year. One thing's interesting, you bring that up, and I mean, they were all very disappointed with 7-6, and he changed something up in the offseason. They were doing some drills at 6 a.m. out there in the cold and misty rain earlier in the year. And then even this year, fall practice, the last couple of years they've brought in the new guys early for 2 or 3 days. This year they brought everybody together early. Or earlier than they would have for the veterans, and said, let's go.
Kirk, what happened last year? I mean, honestly, at the end, I mean, being around that team, they were 7-2. They had beaten New Mexico. They were certainly still in the hunt for the Mountain West title, and then lost a UNLV game. Obviously, the Fresno State game was the key. They lost an overtime game to Hawaii. And I never want to say that my team didn't show up for a bowl game, but it's hard to look at it any other way when you go 27-0 against Ohio. How did this go so wrong so quickly right at the end last year?
Well, it's interesting. If you look at the first half of the season, they were getting the breaks and finding a way to win. A lot of their win, they start off 6-1, and a lot of those wins were within 3 or 4 points. Well, then you get toward the second half of the season, and they were losing all those games. And you take anything from the injuries stacking up to their offensive line went through a lot of problems and issues, and I think that finally caught up to them. And then you just have a few things where a break went the wrong way. I think in the Hawaii game, there was a catch that led to a touchdown for Hawaii, I believe in overtime, that on review, it looked like it was not a catch, and yet it was not overturned. And that, you know, that's winning and losing the game right there. So all these things that were going for them in the first half of the season went against them later on, and that's what you get.
Kirk Kenny joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, San Diego Union Tribune. Kirk, one of the things we heard Rocky say out loud was that there needed to be some changes to the program, you know, whether he needed to reevaluate himself, he needed to reevaluate everything about the program. And the one thing that's come up is the offense. And a lot of people are talking about how the offense is going to be a lot different. You've been to practice. Will it truly be that much different?
Well, I think definitely the formation will be. They're going to the spread formation. And they had so much success with the run the last few years. It's kind of like if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
But they had enough struggles last year. They scored 10 fewer points a game, and that made a huge difference. But I think so you take everything together, and it's like we've been wanting to maybe do something, they're thinking, at some point. So now it seems like as good a time as any. Rocky says they're still going to be a run-first team, which I believe. But and it's funny, if you think about it, though, if you watch this team for any amount of time, you would notice how the defense really stacked up against the run, and yet they didn't really do anything to try and counteract that. They just said, fine, go ahead. We're still going to beat you. And it worked up until last year. So now I think this makes a lot of sense what they're talking about. You spread some guys out, it makes some of the defenders go with them, and it maybe opens some things up for both the pass and the run.
How do you look at the quarterback situation, Kirk? I mean, with Ryan Agnew coming back, 51.6% completion percentage last year. I think a lot of that has to do with guys not being open to a certain extent. I mean, you can only complete passes when guys are there. But obviously, that's a percentage that needs to go up this year. Do they have some wide receivers that can make some plays? Has Agnew worked on his game? Are there other guys pressuring Agnew at the quarterback position?
At this point, I think it's his to lose. He's got the experience from last year. I expect him to play better, especially with the passing percentage. You would hope that a couple of the receivers who now have another year under their belt, will help them. As far as getting pressure, they've brought in a JC guy, Jordan Brookshire, who he has as good or better running ability as Agnew does, but I saw him in the spring, and he needs to improve his accuracy with the passes. The other two kids are both locals, Mark Salazar and the kid from Helix, Carson Baker. Salazar's from Rancho Bernardo. And those guys are still third and fourth string, and they haven't shown enough yet to try and really pressure Agnew. So it's just going to be a matter of, you know, if anybody can put some pressure on him. I think Brookshire is probably the main guy, but I think it's Agnew's job.
Kurt, you and Chris both talked about Juwan Washington finishing at 999 yards, and he was injured for the majority of last year. And there was the thing that stood out to me was there was no clear-cut backup. Have the Aztecs addressed that depth issue there at that running back position?
There's definitely three or four or five guys who are very talented. I think this fall camp will establish who is the backup to Juwan. One guy that was going to be very interesting to see is Greg Bell, a kid that was a standout at Bonita Vista High a couple of years ago, but he suffered an off-season injury away from the football field, and he's going to probably take a couple months at least to recuperate from that. So that took him out of the mix, and I think he might have been the leader in the clubhouse to be the backup, even though some of those other guys have been here longer.
On the defensive side of the football, I apologize for not knowing how to pronounce this guy's name properly. I just know he's number 44, and I know his last name's Tazino. And Kiava, is that correct, Kirk? If I missed it, I apologize, but... I want to say this, Tazino is one of the better-looking Aztec linebackers in terms of just making a nuisance of himself on that side of the ball that I've seen in a while. And the Aztecs have had some very, very good linebackers in there. Calvin Munson and, you know, Miles Burris. And, I mean, these are recent years. And, I mean, back to Kirk Morrison. But Tazino is a guy, I know he's on the preseason all-conference team, but... Man, he had 126 tackles, which is 27 more than any other player last year. He had 8.5 sacks, which is 5 more than any other player last year. I mean, this guy almost seemed unblockable at times last year. Is Rocky, where does he rank Rock? Or where does Rocky rank this kid among some of the other guys he's had at that position?
Oh, I think Rocky puts him right up there with some of those guys. And Tazino's going to be a lot of fun to watch to see if he takes that next step. He kind of emerged late in the season as a sophomore, then really showed what he could do last year. So now as a senior, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch as he take that next step to really be a guy that we're going to remember for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, he can be dominant. Now, who else is back on that defense?
Well, none of the starters on the defensive line, so that's going to be the biggest position of interest to see who emerges there and what they can develop. The guy who is back is Brady Hoke, who's the guy coaching them.
Right.
Now, there is some experience coming back in the secondary with Tariq Thompson, who's a kid out of St. Augustine High, and Luke Barku, who's another local kid, I believe, Castle Park, and a couple other guys who are experienced who are taking a step up there. So the secondary should be improved compared to the last couple of years.
Yeah. All right, Kirk. Well, we're about ready to get it going here in a few weeks. It's amazing. The college kids don't get a lot of training camp, man. They suit them up
right
and they
the
say,
fire, right?
It's time to play.
The NFL, you're right. It's like,
go ahead.
It hits August, and then about 3 weeks into it, all of a sudden, here we are.
You're Bam. Playing a game, yeah. The NFL guys give you this all, it's malarkey about how we need 5 weeks of camp, and we got to play all these preseason games. Somehow the college kids manage to do without all that stuff, so...
Maybe that's their point.
Maybe that's it, yeah. Hey, Kirk, have a great season. We look forward to
catching up
with you. And let's make it a great season out on the Mesa. And thanks for your time, as always, and good insight. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Kirk Kenny right there from the San Diego Union-Tribune on our SDCCU fan hotline, talking a little San Diego State football as the Aztecs get ready to go for – well, that was – you know, he slipped that line in there, but it deserves repeating. They're going for a bowl game for a 10th year in a row.
Right.
And I know that there's honestly, I know a lot of that. I mean, you know, as an Aztec, I mean, all my friends.
You don't forget
from college,
those.
They all still hang around. And most people, I still get the feeling, are still kind of disappointed that this team hasn't done, quote, more. And yes, they could have done more, I guess. They could win the Mountain West every year. They could win every bowl game they played in. They could be Central Florida and maybe get to go to a New Year's Day game. But short of that, considering where they were 10 years ago and where they are now, I don't see how you can't be pretty happy with what they've accomplished. I think it's been a remarkable, remarkable turnaround. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now at SDCCU.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get into this, I just really quickly wanted to remind everyone, we talked to Brad Taylor of the El Paso Chihuahuas earlier in the show, and he gave us a website that you can go to donate to El Paso victims, pdnfoundation.org. We are going to play that interview again at 6:30. So if you have anything, or if you want to listen to it, you want to hear what's going on in El Paso, and you want to help, listen at 6:30 p.m. tonight, or go to pdnfoundation.org.
Before you go to the Big Five, I had something to throw in.
Yes.
Did not realize that after the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game last year, Andy Reid went on a hunger strike. Doesn't look like he's eaten since
the game. He does look like he's lost a lot of weight.
I got him up on television right now, and if he turned sideways, I wouldn't be able to see him.
Right. No, honestly,
Where did Andy Reid go?
I was staring at this as we were ranting about the college football, and I was the whole time I was trying to figure out who it was, and I looked at the bottom, and it said Andy Reid, Chiefs training camp, and I'm like, okay, that's Mariucci on the right.
Yeah.
Wow, he's lost a lot of weight. Good for him.
Good for Andy Reid. I hope he keeps it off.
Yeah.
Stays svelte.
Healthy. Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater. He probably drank a lot of water.
And a lot
of EcoWater. Yeah. Well, EcoWater water systems. EcoWater water systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com. All right, Thomas, let's get into it.
Number five.
Baker Mayfield was seen at the Indians game over the weekend, and he was up on the big screen, and as quarterbacks around the league have been doing, he ended up shotgunning a beer, and it was pretty good. I will have to say that he did it pretty well. So that's going on with the Browns. And then in addition, former offensive line coach Bob Wiley said that former quarterbacks coach Kenny Zampese,
Zampese,
was behind the success last year, not head coach Freddie Kitchens. And on top of that, the Browns drew over 37,000 people to their practice on Saturday and continue to be the talk of the NFL. I don't really get it, but I actually get why Baker Mayfield is. Anyway, Chris, do the Browns...
Why is Baker Mayfield? Because he can shotgun a beer?
Because he's the cool guy, I think, that everybody wants to be until 40 years from now when he's alone... by himself.
Oh, wow. Alone? How'd you come to that?
Because that's he just got married. Hopefully he'll have a nice long...
I'm sorry to his wife.
Nuptials?
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. I don't know. Baker Mayfield, he just strikes me as a guy who doesn't care about anyone but himself.
Strikes me similar. That's why I'm not a big fan. I don't know that shotgunning a beer on the big screen at... is it Jacobs Field now,
yeah,
or what are they?
Or Progressive?
Progressive Field, yeah. In Cleveland is the best look for most guys, but for Baker Mayfield, it's about what I would expect.
Well, here is the question, Chris. Do the Browns have the most pressure in the league heading into the year?
I don't think so. I think that there's a lot of people like me who think that the Browns are probably a year or two away and going to give them a little time. I mentioned this before. Teams are going to get up to play the Cleveland Browns this year. People aren't going to overlook them. So I think they're going to have a whole lot more trouble winning games than people just automatically assume that they will. I think the team with the most pressure every year is the Patriots, and I think that the reason that is because the Patriots put that pressure on themselves. win or it's a failure. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why they win every time.
Tony, what do you think? Do the Browns have the most pressure in the league heading into the year?
Yeah, I would say so. And it's from the standpoint, because I also believe that they're probably a year away. But from a Twitter and everything else standpoint, I think everybody's expecting them to, like, win this division. And
they do, yes.
I really do. I mean, as many articles have we seen written, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on the Cleveland. Maybe more so than the Cowboys, who I think there's an immense amount of pressure on, too, because they got a whole bunch of dudes they got to sign, and one's holding out. They're supposed to win that division as well. But listen, I think having a guy like Baker Mayfield, having a guy like Odell Beckham, you got stars Kareem Hunt's on that squad. You got a lot of eyes on there, on that team. And from the people who watch football all the time, they may understand that it takes a little bit of time for the chemistry and all that to mesh. But from the public standpoint, I don't think they're giving them the same leeway. Their expectations are high. And I just, everybody remember the shotgun and the beer. I promise you, if Cleveland gets off to a rough start, Baker Mayfield would have that in his Twitter mentions. Something along the lines of, you should focus more on these plays as opposed to shotgunning these beers. That's usually how it works for
and athletes. If the Browns start 4-0, the whole stadium will be shotgunning beers.
So. Good point.
A lot at stake.
Number three.
What?
What?
Four?
Oh, yeah, four. Sorry, you confused. Okay.
Four.
Okay, good. We're good. We're back on track. I'm like,
you don't need to explain it. You're good.
Tony, you're going to be up first on this one.
Okay.
But the Patriots and quarterback Tom Brady are in agreement on a two-year deal worth $70 million, a two-year extension, source said, through 2021. He gets $23 million this year, then $30 and $32 million in the following years, though both sides are pretty much saying this is a one-year contract, and they're just going to keep negotiating throughout the rest of his career. So, Tony, does this only work for the Patriots, or should more teams be using this strategy?
Yeah, it only works for the Patriots because they have a willing partner. And Tom Brady. Tom Brady is in the position where he could really tax New England if he really wanted to. He's earned it. The fan base would be behind him. I mean, all of that. But this is how Tom operates. You got to respect it, man. He wants to win. He wants his, but he also wants to win. And because he wants to win, he's willing to give a little bit of what he more than deserves. 35 is the number, the max number you got there?
32.
How much did you tell us Ben Roethlisberger was making?
45.
45. You telling me he deserve that? He absolutely does. So,
oh, yeah, he does.
I think this is a thing that only works with New England because they have a partner that's willing. But I won't be surprised if he plays 2 or 3 years longer, he can make that back up. As long as he's doing these one-year deals, he could tax him for a lot more.
Yeah, he definitely can.
Do I get to answer?
Oh, yeah, you do. Sorry. I'm like, Thomas, hit the next button.
I don't even know what the question is anymore.
Does this only work for the Patriots, or should more teams be using the strategy?
Of having their quarterbacks agree to take less money so they can build better teams?
Yeah, pretty much a renegotiation every year.
Probably the Patriots are the one that can get away with it, but I think every team should give it a shot, honestly. I mean, do you want to win or not? I mean, one of the ways to win is to get better players on your team, and I don't think there's many guys like Brady that are willing to take the pay cut for the good of that team.
Most guys aren't. So, they'll tell the organization, listen, it's not my job to figure out how to construct this team.
Yeah.
It's your job to do that.
Yeah. But
it's wise.
There's a reason the Patriots win. They're the smartest team.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
Speaking of a Boston team, the Red Sox won the World Series last year but are struggling this year.
Struggling.
Big time. The Yankees swept the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium over the weekend in four straight games. That's the collective Boston area crying.
That's just Thomas.
Okay. And now the Red Sox have actually lost 8 straight games. So, Chris, is this a World Series hangover, or are the Red Sox just not that good?
Oh, I don't think either of those. I think they're good. I don't think it's a World Series hangover. I think it goes back to the beginning of the season when they didn't prepare properly for the year. I think that's where it comes down. They sat everybody out in spring training and didn't let guys get ready for the season. They were concerned about having played so much extra baseball at the end of last year. And if you recall, didn't they get off to like a 2-12 start or something like that?
Horrible.
So I think that they, I think Alex Cora just made a huge mistake in the way they planned for this season. And they got off to such a bad start. It's been uphill ever since. And, you know, they battled back to get like, what, 12, 13 games over 500. But it's hard to keep battling it. That took a lot of energy for them to do that. And now this 8-game losing streak's probably put an end to their chances for this year. But no, I think they just didn't. I just don't think they went about trying to defend their title right, to be honest with you.
Tony, what do you think? Is this a World Series hangover for the Red Sox, or are they just not that good?
I don't know if it's either. I mean, I guess you could call it a World Series hangover. They went to the World Series the following year. They're probably not even going to get into the playoffs. I think, listen, you just look at the numbers. You had Mookie Betts, who had an MVP year. He's having a good year. He's bounced back. But 284, 389, and 493 is nothing close to what he did last year. You got and that goes for J.D. Martinez, who's fought the back issue pretty much all year. He's not quite up to par where he was a year ago.
So what's his nickname again?
Oh,
never mind.
Please don't go there.
I don't want him to dump something I said again.
Oh, my goodness. But I still have people telling me that was crazy.
But I think ultimately this team has been injured and guys haven't performed the way they did last year. And that is a recipe for finishing third in a really good American League East.
Number two.
All right, I don't know if you guys saw it. I know that Chris probably didn't see it, but and Tony probably didn't see it either. The Rays and Marlins played each other over the weekend, and one thing that happens these days is the Twitter accounts going after each other. This one...
Why would Chris not see this?
Because you're not on Twitter that much.
Everybody else. Go ahead.
Are you? Why is he so mad about that comment?
I don't know, man.
I'm on Twitter like all the time. What are you talking about?
This is something I'm genuinely learning right now. So I take it back. Chris saw this, and he was in part of it. He retweeted it. He favored it. He did everything like that. But the Marlins and the Rays were going back and forth, and it was pretty good. But it ended with the Marlins saying on their Twitter account to the Rays, quote, "You're literally the animal that killed Steve Irwin. Log off." End quote.
Delete, 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 delete.
And that created a massive controversy, and people were very, very upset by it. So, Tony, do you think this is out of line?
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be speaking on another man's passing.
If people don't know, Steve Irwin, he passed away because a giant ray stuck him in the heart with their barb. So there.
Yeah. That was, you know, that's a young kid, I'm assuming, on the Twitter, and he's getting off his best material.
It's good.
And listen, any other circumstance, if this wasn't a real person, could have actually got away with it. It would have been all right. But it was, this is something that is sensitive for, I'm sure, his family and his fans that followed him. So yeah. Probably a little bit over the line. Not a little bit over the line, but I get it, though. He's a young man just trying to get off his best shot. It went a little too far, though.
Chris, do you think this is out of line?
It's totally out of line, but I'm not surprised. I mean, if you're going to go back and forth and trade barbs, somebody's going to eventually go over the line. That's a lot of times the only way it ever stops is when somebody goes over the line.
Stopped at that point.
Right. I don't even understand why the Marlins are getting into a Twitter war with anybody.
Especially the Rays.
They're the worst team in sports history right now. Marlins ought to just be quiet and try to win some games, not worry about Twitter. But I know this was it was the Marlins who tweeted out this last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not good at baseball. They're not good at Twitter.
Very well said.
All right, last one. We'll be quick about this one. We're in the midst of something pretty special this college football season. The top two schools in the poll, Clemson and Alabama, have two quarterbacks that have both won national titles. Tua Tagovailoa for Alabama and Trevor Lawrence for Clemson. So they are going to probably go 1-2 in the draft, or at least in the first round. But Chris, who would you rather have next year, Tua or Trevor?
Ooh. I would rather my team not be in position to draft either of them, but I have a sneaking suspicion they're going to be. So I'm terrible at this. I never know which guy's going to be the better pro. I'll take the guy from Clemson just because I
Me too.
Hate Alabama.
Tony?
I'm taking Trevor.
Really? Me too. Trevor Lawrence.
Why you say really like that? You thought I was going to take
the running quarterback? Just trying to add drama to it. Thomas, who do you think?
I think Trevor's more polished as a quarterback than Tua is.
Tua or Trevor?
Tua.
Really? All right. Thanks, guys. The Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. Great-tasting, crystal-clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water System. That's really, 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 really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, 5:40 is the time. Scraby, what is it? Countdown time?
It sure is.
Let's do it.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Down, countdown, countdown, countdown. The countdown today, the top five most surprising NFL football teams of 2019. Now, this is really not necessarily factual. It's more opinionated. It's more of a prediction than anything else, I would say, Tony Gwynn Jr. Got to look at all the teams in the NFL and come up with the five that you think are going to open some eyes this year. Be a little bit more, do a little better than everybody expects. Is that kind of what you had in mind, Scraby? I want to make sure I'm handling the topic properly.
Yes, you did it perfectly.
All right. Tony, you ready?
Let's do this.
You go first with number five.
Ezekiel Elliott will miss half of the season due to his holdout this year. The man wants to be paid. Wants to be paid now. And it really seems like the Cowboys are dragging their feet on this one. In their defense, they also have to pay the wide receiver they got from Oakland. Missing his name.
Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper. They also have to pay their quarterback, Dak Prescott. Dak seems to be pretty comfortable that he's going to get his, but I don't know if they can pay all three.
Jerry Jones has pretty much said last week, doesn't matter if you have a good running back or not, you can make it to the Super Bowl without a good running back.
I call that posturing.
Why would I expect him to say anything else when he's having a negotiation with a running back?
Well, you know, people were quick to point out as well that Emmitt Smith was the best running back of all time, and they went to the Super Bowl because of Emmitt Smith.
Ding, ding, ding. Haven't been back since he left, too, by the way.
It's a ding, 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 but Emmitt Smith would not have gone to a single Super Bowl if he didn't have five All-Pro linemen, an All-Pro tight end, Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, and 400 defensive players that Jimmy Johnson acquired in the Herschel Walker trade.
Well, good. That means
that helped.
They have a pretty much all those things on the offensive line now. So plug anybody in, it should work, according to Mr. Jones.
All right. Number five for me, things that are going to surprise you this year. See, I kind of was going with five surprise teams.
It's whatever you want.
Tony's going with five surprise
I'm
going
to have a little bit of both. In
you going to have a little of both?
Yeah.
All right, then I'll just go with this one. Baker Mayfield will not make it through September.
Could you expand?
Yeah.
Yes. Somebody who can't stand him as much as I can't, that actually can do something about it, will level him with a blindside hit and knock him into next week.
You think this hit is going to cause a suspension for said defensive player? Is that what we're going after?
I wouldn't normally think a suspension would be warranted, but in this day and age of the NFL, every time a guy gets a hurt fingernail, they give a suspension to the guy who gave it to him. I just think karma's going to get Baker Mayfield a little bit. He needs to be calmed down a little bit. Humbled is a good word. So I'm going to predict a little humbling experience for Baker Mayfield. I think it'll be especially cool if this happens after Cleveland opens the season by going 2-0, beating the Titans, beating the Jets, and then has a prime time Sunday night game against the St. Louis Rams, and it all goes wrong.
St. Louis?
God, I still have them in St. Louis, don't I? I had them there last week, too. Yeah, that team.
Number four.
This also goes back to another running back who's also holding out. I say he misses two games and then realizes that he's not going to get any more than they're offering.
That he's dealing with the Spanoses.
and he will return. He will be quite upset. May work to his benefit. But I think he misses at least two games in this regular season.
Melvin Gordon. You're
yes.
About.
Yes.
All right. I say in a stunning development this year. Are we on number four?
Yes.
The New England Patriots will finish with a better record than the Los Angeles Chargers. They didn't last year, you know.
I know that.
I'd throw that out there.
Is that your number four?
Yeah, it's my number four.
Oh, that's not that shocking.
Why not?
I would have said that the Chargers finished with a better record again would be more shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen.
Number three.
This is a shocker for you guys.
All right.
The Seattle Seahawks will win the NFC West.
Oh, my.
Ugh. Yes. Rams are everybody's favorite.
Yeah, that seems like a lock. So that's a good upset pick.
I've just seen too many. Other than let me say this again. Rephrase this, I should say. Other than the Patriots, I've just seen too many teams not be able to perform at the level they performed at the year before that got to a Super Bowl.
Especially teams that lose Super Bowls.
Yes, yes.
What did the Atlanta Falcons do last year?
Oh, they didn't.
Not much.
They didn't. Yeah, they didn't look very good.
Well, that was 2 years removed from their Super Bowl. But you're right, though. Teams that lose Super Bowls...
But they didn't look good the year
after
either.
In general, tend to fall off a little bit.
And Seattle, who was expected to be pretty bad last year, turned out to be really good, got into the playoff. So, I think they got a chance to win this.
I can't imagine a guy I'd be happier for than Pete Carroll.
Oh, yeah, he's in your book.
Oh, he's got a chapter.
A chapter.
Is his chapter bigger than Baker's right now?
Baker Mayfield's chapter? Yeah, because he's been around doing stupid stuff that I don't like for a lot longer than Baker Mayfield.
I should have picked somebody else.
All right, I say the team that improves its record the most this year in terms of amount of wins they had last year to this year is the Green Bay Packers.
I can see that.
6-9-1 last year. That's hard for me to imagine that Aaron Rodgers could only win 6 or 6.5 games. They were 1-7 on the road. There were a lot of teams who were 1-7 on the road, but the Packers are normally a whole lot better than that. I got to believe the Bears are going to come back to earth. No way they're going 12-4 again. Packers are good for 10-11 wins. So... the only other team that could give them competition in this category is a team that I would rather not mention in this particular company that we're in right now. So I'm not going to mention them.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
You know who it is, don't you?
I see what you're putting down.
Yeah.
I'm picking up what you're putting
Thank
down.
Thank you. The guy who I'm referring to
is... he's across from you.
He has no idea.
He's oblivious.
He's
doing a blog or something.
Right
so
he I'm has so sweaty over here. I thought you were talking about Thomas, so I completely ignored you.
Yeah, well, I wasn't. So
what did you say about my 49ers?
I don't remember.
You missed it. Maybe you should listen to the show.
Yeah, listen to the show once in a while. I cannot believe it. That you are the last person who listens to this show.
Do you blame me?
Well, considering it's your show,
it's
yeah,
not my
maybe
show.
I can understand that.
You're part of it. All right, here we go. Number two. DK Metcalf will be one of the most productive rookies in this rookie class.
Agreed.
You have to tell me who
wow.
he is.
He's the kid out of Old Miss that's built like a brick house, but he runs like a 4.3, and he's just a big wide receiver.
He's a wide receiver.
Yes.
All right, I'll bet you that he won't.
I know you will.
Because rookie wide receivers almost never produce.
Hence, surprise.
Okay.
Calvin Ridley last year produced.
I said almost never.
Wait, I just needed some proof.
All right, what team is DK Metcalf on so I can root against him?
Fittingly, he's with the Seahawks.
Aha.
there's a little bit of a quinky dink there.
All right, let's just stick with make it all Seahawk radio. Rashad Penny will lead the National Football League in rushing.
I like the way you're thinking.
Wow.
Why the heck not? He's got as much chance as anybody else. Give him the ball. Let him roll.
I haven't really heard much about him this offseason. I wonder.
Have.
Yeah?
He's having a good...
Is he gaining weight? Because I know that he lost a lot of weight last year.
He looks as beefy as I saw him here.
They
got a little one-two.
Made me look good.
A little one-two combo coming out of the Seahawks this year.
I like it.
How much... Who was the leading rusher in the NFL last year? I mean, it's not a title that anybody really cares about winning anymore, really.
No.
It's not that big of a deal. But I'll take Rashad this year as my number two upset selection.
Did number you already one? Hit number one?
No, yes, he hit it.
Number one.
Number one.
Ezekiel was number one, by the way, last year. Go ahead.
New England Patriots get bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
No days off.
They will have so many days off.
So many days off.
They will have more days off than they know what to do with themselves because they haven't been in this position in quite some time.
Can I expand upon that a little bit?
No. You got to have your own list to expand on mine.
Okay, well, Scraby's number two or one is that Tom Brady.
He turned your mic off. That is awesome.
Well done, Thomas.
I'm not there. There I am.
No, you're not.
You're not there.
You're
Tom
not
Brady
there.
Gonna...
Write it down on a piece of paper and we'll decide whether or not we should mention it.
Raise your hand.
Raise your hand.
This is great. You just straight cut
like
your
this.
Mic.
Like
you cannot open with criticism of God and expect that the guy controlling the buttons over here is going to let you talk.
Guy gets an in-house endorsement, and look what happens.
You're not going to
cut your mic off.
I'm not going to let you say
you
anything
were talking
bad about
reckless.
Tom Brady, man.
You're talking reckless.
Well, Tom Brady, this is his last year.
All right. Going back to my pick of Rashad Penny, by the way. Chris Carson of the Seattle Seahawks finished fifth in football in rushing yardage last year. So it's not maybe that completely outlandish if Rashad Penny can beat this guy out that he could do that. All right. Number one. What was your number one?
New England gets bounced in the first round.
My number one surprise in football this year.
Are you making it up right now?
Yes.
The Dolphins win the Super Bowl.
I'm not stupid. I may not be a very good post-game Padre talk show host, but I'm not stupid. No, the Indianapolis Colts do.
Wow, that is a shocker.
There you have it. Everyone else is saying how great they are. I'll buy into it for now.
Bang, bang.
The countdown is now closed.
Last year, I picked the Tennessee Titans.
You did.
Remember that?
You did.
They did not even make it to the playoffs. They were eliminated in the final game by the Indianapolis Colts.
Who did I pick? I can't remember.
I think it was the Steelers?
No, it was the Jaguars.
Jaguars,
it was
that's right.
Jaguars.
Yeah, my Titans pick looked really sweet next to your Jaguars.
It did.
They only won
it
five
did.
Games. But
yeah.
I have a question for
They've
you guys.
They've been humbled.
Who finishes the season as a starting quarterback for the Titans? Marcus Mariota or Ryan Tannehill?
I think it's Marcus Mariota. I think he's going to rise to the occasion.
You think so?
Yeah.
What about you, Chris?
I'm pretty sure that Ryan Tannehill will get his shot at some point, and he will be typical Ryan Tannehill, which will move Marcus Mariota right back into the starting line.
So your answer is Marcus Mariota.
My answer is Marcus Mariota. I also think if you want to ask me who the Dolphins quarterback will be in December, I'm almost positive it will be Josh Rosen.
I can see that, because Fitzmagic only plays like
not
a
only
month.
That. The what's the head coach's name for you guys? Flores?
Yeah.
I think so.
Brian Flores.
He's been like almost too like Fitzmagic.
Yeah.
on his side.
He's like, buying into the
It's like,
magic.
Come on, bro. You're setting this up so you can just cut him out after he throws a few interceptions and you can bring on the young guy. I see what you're doing.
Well, he's doing that also, I think, to get the attention of Josh Rosen.
Yeah,
and
like,
say,
wake
hey,
up,
look,
let's go.
Man, you better get your act together because this guy's kicking your butt. I mean, that's I think that's pretty smart, actually,
yeah,
as
no
a coach
doubt.
If you want to get this kid going. But
give you some insight, though.
There's no way. Why are we even talking about it? Just play the sounder. That's enough on the Dolphins. All right. I can't believe that they got another season coming up. Do you know that it has been 19 years since the Dolphins have won a playoff game?
2000.
It's the last. And that was an overtime game. They beat Peyton Manning and the Colts in the wild card round only because the Colts kicker, I believe, was Vanderjagt. Remember that guy, Mike Vanderjagt?
Oh, Jarvis. Yes!
He missed a field goal at the end of regulation.
Like after trash-talking Peyton Manning and the rest of the Colts.
Was that back then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't remember what the time was on it. But anyway, Manning led him down the field. The Colts were going to win the game. The guy missed the kick, and Miami got
He was like one of the best kickers in the league at the time, too. Didn't he get let go after that?
He did.
I don't know exactly.
He got let go after that Steelers one where...
That was like a couple of years later where he missed a key kick against the Steelers. He missed a few playoff field goals, but that was the last time Miami won in a playoff game. I can't believe. I mean, you talk about trying to root for your team out there. Try rooting for your team that hasn't won a playoff game in 19 years, and there's not a lot of hope that they're going to win one this year either. There's very little. Quick trivia, Thomas, who led the.
Win a playoff game? Is that the equivalent in baseball of a playoff series?
Oh, for football? I think so. Yeah. Well,
Padres put you right there at the top 10.
Padres have been 98. How long since they've won a series? 98. So it's been 20 years or 21. Who led the NFL in interceptions last year? Thomas?
Howard.
Xavien Howard, Miami Dolphins. Tied.
With who?
That's the question.
Oh.
Thomas?
This is for your job.
Come on, Thomas.
It was the we're gonna TV for the Falcons from San Diego State, wasn't it?
Kasim?
Damonte.
Oh.
Casey.
Kasim Osgood.
Kasim Osgood?
we're going way
back on the Aztec train.
That's my guy. Kasim, shout out, dog.
Thomas gets to keep his job. This stinks.
No, we're going to ship him off to the afternoon show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Thomas, time to start on the other side of the NFL. We did the AFC pretty much all last week. We have our first NFC preview, and it's the NFC West. Thomas?
All right.
He's not Thomas. He doesn't
I'm sorry. Odd, Thomas?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, yeah.
Call him by his right name.
All right, we'll start with the Arizona Cardinals. In Steve Wilkes' first and last year with the Cardinals, they post the league's worst record, 3-13, which qualified them for the first overall pick this offseason.
Wait just a second. He was fired, but then rewarded with a big job somewhere else, right?
Yeah,
Steve Wilkes?
He's the defensive coordinator for the Browns now.
That's why the Browns are being picked to go to the Super Bowl, because they just picked up a defensive coach who was 3-13 last year. Okay, go ahead.
Which qualified them for the first overall pick in this season's draft, and went out and got the quarterback that their new head coach in Cliff Kingsbury wanted in Kyler Murray. Now it's up to Murray, the 5'9" Heisman Trophy winner, to do the job in Arizona. And now last year's first round pick, Josh Rosen, failed to do, and that was traded to Miami for a second round pick and a fifth round pick in 2020. They lost inside linebacker Deion Buchanan, outside linebacker Marcus Golden, guard Mike Iupati. Scraby's one of his favorites.
What's his name? Mike Iupati?
Yeah.
Like Y-O-U-P-O-T-T-Y?
L-U-P.
No, it's I-U-P-A-T-I. Oh. He's Samoan.
Okay.
Added quarterback Robert Alford from the Falcons, brought in Jordan Hicks, linebacker for the Eagles, and brought in T-Sizzle Terrell Suggs.
T-Sizzle!
Back home. So, major problems it's going to be having with the Cardinals that they had last year. They had trouble protecting Josh Rosen, and from all stands for this offseason, they didn't do much better to increase that offensive line, losing Upati. Brought in a couple guys, former first-round picks, Justin Pugh, who was with the Giants for a long time. But for the most part, defense is going to be a struggle, too, with losing Patrick Peterson for the first 6 weeks due to his suspension. If this rebuild goes to plan, to go young has gotten off to a decent start, and they did great in drafting Murray, but if not, the prospects of this team are going to have a long season developing in how to play in this Kingsbury air raid offense.
They're going to have a long season anyway. Let's just be honest. All the things could have fallen into place. They still would have a long season. But you are hearing some good reports, and I know they haven't played any games, so it's really kind of pointless. But Kyler Murray has been getting a lot of raves about the velocity in which he's throwing the football and his accuracy in throwing the football, which is something I didn't necessarily expect.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald came out and said it's interesting to see a guy so young come out, take control of the huddle, and having to teach him the offense because Kyler basically ran this in college, and this is all brand new to Fitzgerald, who's going on his 16th season, I think,
16th,
now?
16th, yes.
I think it would have been much more interesting if Larry Fitzgerald had come out and said, "Hey, Larry, what do you think of the new quarterback, Kyler Murray?" "Oh, my God. Does not have a clue, you guys. I'm being honest with you. He doesn't know the offense. He can't throw. I've been wide open in practice. He keeps throwing the ball 10 yards behind me."
I'm with you.
No one ever says that. I mean, with all due respect, I respect Larry Fitzgerald a great deal, but, I mean, what else is he going to say?
True. All right, moving on to the San Francisco 49ers.
Here we go.
When they lost their potential face and quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo last season, they fell off the map and hard.
Wait, what?
Nick Mullen, CJ Beathard, Beathard.
No, Beathard.
Beathard.
Yeah, what?
Now with him back, I believe they're in contention for the division again. With an on-paper stacked running back group, tight end George Kittle, and an underrated offensive line, this could make some big noise this coming season. The defense will be shaky, though, especially with quarterback Richard Sherman if he can stay healthy in a young defensive line, hoping to hold opposing teams in the run again. One big concern is that Kyle Shanahan, can he turn this team back to form after losing their star players from last season and bringing in a bunch of new players to around?
I got to believe he can, because last I checked, Kyle Shanahan is the greatest coach in NFL history. Just ask anybody who's anywhere near the 49ers. They will tell you that. This guy can do no wrong. He is an absolute, utter genius. And he doesn't even need any talent to win four games. That's my whole point. I don't understand how everybody can say how great he is until he does something.
I agree. He is great.
He is not.
No,
he hasn't done anything.
I've been talking to some people from the Bay Area, and they tell me that...
Who, your friends?
No.
Here we go again.
People that are reporters. I'm the guy who like asks questions for myself instead.
Here we go again.
But they said that the players really do love to play for Kyle Shanahan, and that he has this team 100% under his control. Now, who knows if they start losing again, if what happens, but... If they have Jimmy Garoppolo for at least a season, it will be fun to see what will happen with them. Because last year, you had to chalk it up to nothing because he went out so early in the year.
Well, that's kind of sad if your team is dependent on one player and one player.
I mean, there
only.
Are a lot of teams that if their quarterback goes out, it's over for them.
Who?
The Patriots.
Really?
Not true. Patriots last time were 11-5 last time that happened.
Yeah. There okay, you go, spitting out facts that you don't know.
Yeah, but they have Brian Hoyer, and Brian Hoyer was a 49er quarterback before he was traded to the Patriots, and he was awful.
Well, that's because he was in the 49er system.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty simple.
If the who's the backup quarterback for the Chargers? I have no idea.
Tarod Taylor.
Oh, Tarod Taylor. If where Phil did Rivers goes down?
Where did Jimmy Jesus, Tarod. What organization did Jimmy Jesus come from?
The Patriots, but they also got him for a 7th-round pick. So the Patriots are going to be crying in their Cheerios one day.
You let us know when that happens.
Big thing people are talking about is if this season doesn't go to plan for the Niners, who is to blame? Lynch or Shanahan?
Scraby.
Probably. I would say it has to be on John Lynch. He's not providing.
It has to be because Shanahan's the greatest coach in the history of the game. Thomas, have you not listened to what I've been telling you?
I would say it's going to be on Shanahan.
Really?
I mean, if you think about it, Lynch has done everything possibly he can to go out and acquire talent, go out and get drafts. He's drafted pretty well.
He got Jimmy G.
He's traded. At some point, coaches got to, especially in the game of football, I mean, that's super important. Coaches got to be able to put the guys in the right spots to have success.
Problem with the 49ers the last couple of years is they've tried to outthink the draft room.
The problem is we're still talking about the 49ers.
Sorry about that.
All right, well, moving on. Seattle Seahawks. Seeing as now head coach Pete Carroll, Seahawks have been in the playoffs 7 of the last 8 seasons. There wasn't a whole lot of tweaking to do this offseason, though. One critical piece of business was taken care of. And we saw Russell Wilson and Sierra talking about getting signed. He signed a major deal this offseason, giving him a $140 million contract extension.
Who signed that?
Russell Wilson. Yo, Seattle, we got a deal.
That was so corny. I was so uncomfortable watching that. It's like, why are you doing this?
Longtime receiver and one of the heart and souls of the offense, Doug Baldwin, retired actually this offseason, so they went and gained an offensive player in DK Metcalf, who fell in the draft really bad. He was a projected top pick, ended up going late in the second round, and from all accounts, as Scraby mentioned earlier, he's doing really well so far in Seattle. You mentioned it, Tony. You think he could be a sleeper this year for people?
For me in particular. Just to get that out there.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of people out there thinking that. They brought in Mike Iupati, brought in kicker Jason Myers, defensive end Cassius Marsh.
Where are you
Marsh.
Drafting this Metcalf guy? Like third round? I mean, is he that great?
I don't know if he's that great.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there.
All right.
But as far as defense, they should be good. I don't expect them to reach the Legion of Boom levels yet. Pass rush is expected to be slowed after they traded away their defensive end Frank Clark to the Chiefs. And their big defensive tackle, Jerron Reed, will be lost to suspension for the first 4 games. On paper, the team looks ready for the playoffs, especially with Wilson under center. Guess we'll just have to find out how well this team can do down the stretch and in a pretty tight division between all 4 teams.
Here's Russell Wilson announcing his contract.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good
night. Time for y'all to go to bed.
You can go to
time
sleep.
For you to go to bed, son.
Where did I miss? When did this all happen?
Just the night he signed.
Yeah, exactly.
He decided he decided to keep up with the Joneses and get on Instagram and do his thing.
Seattle, we got a deal.
And they were in bed, and he was asleep.
It just made me so uncomfortable.
Me too. Very uncomfortable.
All right, we're moving on to the final team. The Los Angeles Rams came up as close as you can to becoming NFL champions, losing in the Super Bowl to the Patriots 13-3 after Bill Belichick's game plan took away the play option threat.
Okay, all right.
Since 2009, the Rams have only been to the postseason twice, and it was in 2017 and 2018 under coach Sean McVay. One of those times being the Super Bowl. So general manager Les Snead stayed fairly low this offseason, lost 2 players on the offensive line, Roger Saffold and John Sullivan. Lost a big anchor in the defensive line, too, Ndamukong Suh.
Ah, that's it.
Added Eric Weddle, Clay Matthews, and they'll be gaining this player back, but Cooper Kupp, who really the team seemed to really struggle, at least
they
Jared
did.
Goff, after that big blowout game Monday night against the Chiefs when they scored, 70 points or whatever it was combined? Something ridiculous.
70? No, they in the Chiefs Ram game it was 100 points. Oh. It was 51-49, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think it was something like that. 51-48, like maybe.
Maybe more.
Close.
I'll have to look it up, but it was a lot.
Close.
Yeah, you were right there, Thomas. You know, the Rams had that Ndamukong Suh guy on defense, so they held the Chiefs to a good 48-49 points that night. Come on.
So, big
where
questions
did
Suh
go
going
again?
That's my number 6 surprise. Ndamukong Suh, comeback player of the year.
Oh, I like it. Where did he go again?
Where's Tampa
I have
Bay?
No
where
idea. Is
he
oh,
Tampa
at?
Bay. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, he's in Tampa.
He took
that's
Gerald
right.
McCoy's number and position.
Yeah.
I'll pick Tampa Bay last just because he's on that team.
All right, so how will Todd Gurley's knee affect him this season, and can Jared Goff shake off the bad outing in the Super Bowl? Biggest storylines to pay attention to.
Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.